Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is Tuesday, along with Luke Johnson and Andy Stevens. We have CJ Silas.
Special guest
CJ Silas in studio today. Hey, CJ.
I feel special because I get my own mic and you and Andy are sitting on each... I mean, Luke are sitting on each other's laps. Just so you can share a mic. That's pretty funny.
That's the way it works. Yeah. It's a funny pecking order.
The definitely. Microphone isn't the only thing they share.
I'm surprised that Luke's on the bottom now.
Wow.
Okay. Owen, how do you feel about all these jokes?
Now that's the way to start
Owen's,
a podcast.
Owen's our guy who doesn't always like these kinds of jokes. Wow. So Owen, how are you feeling right now?
Okay? How am I feeling?
Yeah.
The wow. top of the show is golden. Good. You got to start with something like that.
Golden, delicious.
Yes. Undelicious today is the Dodgers trade for Brian Wilson. Or not trade, but signing of Brian Wilson.
It's undelicious to you?
It's undelicious to me.
I'm not sure. I think it might be salacious, but I'm not sure. I want to give it some time.
Yeah?
Salacious
is a better
word.
Yeah, you got to give him time in the minors.
Mm-hmm. It's a total not big deal trade. Who cares?
Oh, if you're a Dodger fan, it's a big deal just because the bullpen has been lucky to be mediocre all season. Lucky to be mediocre.
I can agree with that on some level. I think that guys like Belisario, Paco Rodriguez has had a good year. Those are the upsides, but there have been a lot of downsides. They've had to trade a guy like Matt Guerrier. They had to trade him away. They were thinking about him being a big setup guy. Brandon League has been a big disappointment all year.
He's been
a bust. Yes, yes. And fans were calling for – I mean, how many times did he blow a save there? There was a two-week period where I think he blew like three or four in a row.
Yeah.
Kenley Jansen has definitely stepped up. But I think adding a guy like Wilson could go a long way with them, especially if they're thinking playoffs. He has playoff experience. You know, he was the closer for a two-time World Series champion, yeah. So he's been there, done that.
Yeah, CJ on her show has a segment called Who Tooled Out This Week or whatever, and my personal thought is that Brian Wilson is like in the tool shed of fame.
He could tool out.
He has tooled out many times, and he belongs in the tool shed of fame from being the tool shed of fame, and because he's antics. He wears a skin tight tuxedo,
sailor's hat,
with
a pipe.
The beard itself.
He dyes his beard dark jet black. Well, actually, I
with
heard a rumor that he is going to do it dyed blue. Once he gets out of the minors. If he gets out of the minors.
That's
my first reaction when this
like
whole thing
smurf.
Happened, I was at CrossFit this morning when it happened, and one of my girlfriends came in and said, did you see it? It's going to happen, the beard. And I'm like, what? And so I sat on it for a little bit. I worked out. I took some deep breaths, and I got home, and I was like, you know what? Days of guys that play for their entire career at one team with the Bill Russells and the Sandy Koufax and the Roy Campanella and the George Bretts and the Curry Puckets, it's over.
Right.
So if I think that the Dodgers are never going to have a former Giant on their team again, then I'm an idiot because I hated Jeff Kent because of that. I'm trying to like Uribe.
You know what?
I have to get over it. That's my thing. So I took a couple deep breaths and I realized if he's going to have anything left, why not use it in the next 50-plus games?
Hey, how do you Dodger fans like Schmidt? Was he good?
Poorly. Schmidt, Kent.
There's another ex-Giant.
Brett Butler.
I loved Schmidt, though. Schmidt was great for you guys. What was it, like 3 years, $47 million or something? What was it again? 3 years, $47 million. Just wanted to just get that.
Well, you got to have the counterpoint, I guess.
That's why the Dodger dogs went up $1.50 every year.
There you go.
So Derek
all
Jeter,
Jason Schmidt.
Derek Jeter's the last bastion, and Mariano Rivera. Those two guys are really...
Totally.
I thought Tony Gwynn was going to be... I thought eventually like Jeter or Rivera or some of those guys would play with a different team, but really I think those two are the...
They'll stick it out.
Or the last bastion of that kind of a guy. And I agree. I kind of had that similar thought today, even though I don't know how well I'll come to terms with it. But the idea that being a fan is a different game in this day and age than it was even in the 80s or 90s.
I have to say, these microphones are weird. Let me tell you why.
Yeah, okay.
And I know this is a live podcast, but
you can
I can't
take that
see
away
your
you
faces.
You can take that away. If
all
you
I
want.
See is eyes. I see this big.
Some eyes.
I mean, this is not traditional radio. This is like old school radio from like Laugh-In days. Remember that?
Yeah, the Laugh-In.
With the Gary Owens.
Yeah. So they're actually like only one direction has. It, they're not like multi-directional.
In honor of that little hip hop band, that little.
One Direction.
Yeah, see, you guys are so thoughtful. See, what you're shooting to all the masses of audiences.
right.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry, it just messed with my train of thought.
You can take the pop strange. Filter away.
Okay,
if you're,
it's making me a little nervous. I thought it was a fly swatter.
it goes down easily. Whoa. And if you stare into the mic there, you can actually kind of see the circle that you're talking into.
Thank you.
You don't even have to.
Are we still recording?
Yeah,
awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
We are somewhat outside. I mean, you know, you could use it as a fly swatter.
You never know. Or a paddle if someone misbehaves.
Yeah, in the palatial fanmanship.com studios.
It is palatial.
Yeah, it's got an awesome truck that's involved.
Very sexy truck.
I'm sorry, Luke. I didn't mean to change the subject. I did, though. I guess I want to stay positive. Yeah. I mean, I'm a baseball fan first. And I'm a Dodger fan first before that, if you get the order.
Absolutely.
And I want to be hopeful. And when it first started my day, I was, and now I'm going to sit with it and I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to trust that these guys in the front office are finally doing the right thing. The parking lot attendant is gone. The stadium is beautiful. Everything's affordable. Yeah. They're winning. I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying this moment.
Right.
And if Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys is going to come in and play for the Dodgers, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you say the days of those types of players are over. You have to understand also, he is a relief pitcher. Those guys do trade, allegiances, teams quite often. So the days of guys like Jeter, probably over. But what about guys like, per se, Justin Morneau? He's never been on another team. He's always been a Twin.
Or Mauer.
But he's not maybe that level of player like a Jeter, so you maybe wouldn't recognize that.
Or I didn't even realize the Twins were still playing baseball. Maybe that's part of it.
That could be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think
lost
you have to
in
have,
the AL Central.
You almost have to have a small market team if that's going to be the case. And like I would argue, like, I know Morneau's getting shopped right now, I think I've heard rumors, but Mauer,
but see, there you go,
but
right
Mauer's
there, you
know. But Mauer's from Minnesota, he's from Minneapolis, and so a guy like that maybe could. But if the Twins aren't competitive for the next 5 years, that's a guy who they're going to trade out of pity.
My question
and to get
is, though,
something for.
What do you think Wilson can be effective?
No.
I mean,
I have no idea. We haven't seen what he's done since his injury.
He's a name, you know.
Yes.
He's done some great things.
Energy,
but last I saw, he just lost it. He lost it. His cut fastball was horrible.
And Tommy John.
Slider wasn't working.
Well, the surgery was the main thing. Who comes back from that? How effective are they when they come back? And do they have what they had before ever again?
Exactly.
And for Brian Wilson, you know, I feel like, pitching wise, he might be okay. I don't know if he's going to be better than like a Belisario. I know you're talking about
anybody
Belisario.
Anybody is better than Belisario.
You just don't trust him.
Andy likes him better than I do.
You just don't
he's
trust
a Guillermo Moda of the 2013 Dodgers.
2.0. Guillermo Moda 2.0.
Moda was slightly effective for a short period of time.
For like a week.
See, that's the thing.
And so is Belisario.
That's what she's saying. You know, you're going to get something good.
You never know. I sat outside the bullpen on Friday night when I went to see the Reds. And
was that
those
the
guys
one
have
game?
No energy. It's the days of Eric Gagne when everyone in the bullpen was in a good mood and watched the whole game. Some of these guys aren't even watching the game. Maybe this is what he does. Maybe he comes in and he lights a little fire under the bullpen guys.
Starts
and gets
playing
some
with
energy.
A yo-yo, you know, getting
something.
Some things going.
I don't know.
There's not really a leader in the bullpen,
there
is there?
There's not like, a single. No.
That's the thing.
Kenley's young. Yep. League is ineffective. I read
Paco's
a book.
Young.
I read a book recently. It was called Out of My League by Dirk Hayhurst. He was a pitcher for the Padres for a little while. But he talked about going into the
You have a lot of time on your hands if you're reading those books.
Oh yeah. It's really good. He's a broadcaster.
Why are you laughing, Luke? Why are you laughing?
Go. This is so awkward. Okay, I'm gonna go. Okay, go. That was just classic. That was a classic Owen moment right there. Dick Hayhurst.
Dirk.
Whatever.
Dan.
Dick,
you know.
Something.
Owen's the only guy. Hey, Dirk, if you're out there, Owen, read your books. He's one of your few fans.
I thought you were thinking of the Fits in the Tantrum, the new song, Out of My League. It's a great song. And I'm like, I went right to Fits in the Tantrum, and you went to some random book that only you bought.
Yeah, no,
it's awesome.
And only you read, apparently.
He's the best selling. Come on. So he talks about going out into the bullpen for the first time for the Padres and how Trevor Hoffman was the king of that bullpen.
Oh, heck yeah.
And there was a leader, and there was a way that you went about doing things, and there was a backpack with all kinds of ball doctoring equipment and gels and all kinds of things.
Really?
He talks all... It's really, really interesting. You know, it's probably like a Hello Kitty backpack that he had to wear, you know, because they make the rookie...
Donald Duck.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, we should get the book and do a podcast and read it to each other. Isn't that fun, Luke?
Yes, I want
Chapter
to do that.
One.
I'd be all
Let's
about
do that.
It.
He's called... funny thing, he's called the Garfus. That's what he's...
Really?
That's his name.
Owen
his
must
Twitter.
Not sleep with all he does, reading and being a dad and having a dog and getting his wife pregnant, all the things he does working full time.
Well, that's true. And he spends a lot of time with the last
thing. All those things that you need time for.
Let's not brag about it, okay? All right. Yeah, but I think that, that the next podcast we should do a book reading.
I could do a book reading. We could all bring our favorite book and each read a chapter. I would totally show. Yeah, I'll bring like I don't know the Divine Sisterhood, the Yaya Sisterhood, or something.
I'll bring,
be like
I'll
a
bring
book
the Giving Tree.
That is one of my favorite books. Or I can't believe you just said that.
Or The Giver.
Do it. I challenge
but,
you.
Owen, I think what you're talking about with this whole relief thing is a la 1996 Brian Harvey California Angels.
1.8 years.
Brian Harvey.
When they won like 66 games, but he saved like 59 of them. He was a beast for like 4 years, but they sucked. That's awesome.
Were those like the late Gary DeSarcina years?
Those were the early DeSarcina years.
Well, you know, but back on topic, you look at a guy like Mariano. I mean, yeah, he leads that bullpen, but he had to come up and be that guy. I mean, he wasn't just born that guy. So a guy like Jansen, maybe he becomes that guy after this
year. You do have to step
year.
Into those kind of roles. You know, it's true. You got
to
want it.
You have to prove it.
Right. Maybe they go to the playoffs.
Sort of like you right here on fansmanship.com. You've kind of stepped into that role.
My Garfus love.
Yes. But, yeah, I just think that Jansen has the stuff. He has the attitude. You know, listening to him in interviews, he says all the right things. Yeah. You know, who knows what he's really thinking, but he has all the right answers. So, I mean, I think he's on his way to becoming that leader. It's hard when you kind of have that you don't speak English too well type of thing to really get the emotion of how you really think they feel just by listening to interviews.
You can never get it. It's true.
Right. But I can just kind of tell that I think he does have that attitude, and I think he will be that guy.
Kenley Jansen.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's definitely a possibility. When we think about guys who aren't giving interviews, basically, we also think of Yasiel Puig on the Dodgers. And he's been like a media part of his energy or part of his mystique is the fact that he doesn't really talk to anybody.
Well, he speaks zero English.
Right.
Yeah. I think he says hello and high five or something. Yeah, he doesn't speak English and he doesn't want to.
Right, no, he doesn't want to.
22-year-old from Cuba, proud of his heritage, got out of the place he wasn't comfortable to be successful.
Yeah.
He's getting a bad rap from other players, but he's a mean excitement when he comes out of that dugout, whether it's to get to the outfield or going up to the plate.
Sunday night, came up in the 11th. Crazy. And, you know, I'm in the car listening, and I called Luke right away, but he didn't answer, so I texted him. You know, hit a home run, you know, 0-1 pitch on the outside part of the plate and just yanked it in the
just
halfway
kind of stuck
up
his back. Just kind of threw his bat out there. That's how it was. And it went, you know, 430 feet.
10 home
halfway
runs.
Halfway up the stand. So
we thought he was kind of going down. I did. You know, he had a bad, like, week or two there. Dropped from maybe 410 to 370.
He was trying too hard. Right. I noticed that.
Swinging at horrible pitches.
And swinging early, yeah.
It was getting to that point where, okay, you know, all right, we have all the hoopla and all the hype, and he's, you know, such a firecracker. But now he's kind of stepping over the line a little bit, swinging at so many bad pitches, making so many base running errors, you know, throwing behind runners, making errors, you know, throwing errors, trying to show off your arm. So I think he's kind of at that line right now. So we'll see kind of towards the end of the season whether he – I mean, but I really do think that he's just going to keep, because he is that player, so he's just going to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
You know, and if they have to rein him in a little bit, they have to rein him in. But I don't think he's going to stop with, you know, throwing behind runners and things like that. Let's just hope it doesn't cost the team.
He just has to grow out of it. He's young. He hasn't played in this at this level before. It's interesting how the biggest stories in baseball right now surround the Yankees and Dodgers. Whether it's Jeter coming back or A-Rod being the next one to get suspended and maybe even for life which would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like him as a Mariner and I liked him as a Ranger. I just don't like the drugs. And now it's pretty cool.
You're big into cheater, you know, you have zero tolerance for cheaters.
For cheating in any sport.
Yeah. For any sport.
I don't even like cycling anymore after what's happened. I don't even follow it. And I was crazy cycling fan. I had posters. I like prayed to the mantra of Lance Armstrong every night before I went to bed.
Wow.
Believing till the moment he finally went on Oprah, I believe that he had been telling the truth. And I just, you know, don't even get me started on Brian Ron, which is his new name.
Brian Ron.
I won't even let him. He doesn't get his birthday with me because he's such a disappointment
to
humanity.
And not only disappointing in terms of
cheating. It transcends sports, really.
It sure does, Luke.
Yeah.
Andy,
Luke. She must be looking at you. That's all right.
Did you see me catch myself?
No, you did. Well, you just met us today, so it's understandable. It's understandable.
No, actually, you're the last one I've met.
Oh, okay.
I met Luke at AAA.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, actually,
you had a deal on some insurance?
CJ forgets. I actually met her at the gym about probably 18 months ago.
Really? At Pismo Beach Athletic Club?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And you were the only vivacious person at like 6:30. I roll in and I'm pretty, and I'm kind of an early bird, but I roll in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm here. Okay, let's start doing some girls. And this lady is awesome.
You said some curls, right? You said curls, right?
Yeah,
but
curls.
It sounded like you said girls.
Yeah,
it and it was like, I was like, oh, and I'm the only vivacious one there. Awesome. That's awesome.
True.
And you weren't very excited about that idea either.
Let's start doing some girls, some curls.
I am early.
And this lady was
just on fire at 6:30 in the morning, just pushing it.
Yes.
Charging it. I like
there
to
was
get up early.
One. There was one old dude that used to run with.
Carl. Carl
See?
Costanzo.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So Luke likes to work out early. Are you still working out early with the new baby? I got one coming pretty soon.
Yeah. You know what? You just got to shorten those workouts. So I'm telling you.
High intensity?
You just go high intensity and you're out. You're just, there's no, yeah. There's
sounds
no,
like.
There's no reps.
Sounds
you're
like
just maxing like, out from the
sounds
get-go.
Sounds like a little bit like CrossFit.
CrossFit, right. Yeah. And CJ's big into CrossFit.
It's my new thing.
I actually have a question because I know CrossFit's one of your sponsors on your show,
yes.
CrossFit Five
Partner.
Cities, right? Partner,
uh-huh.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Partner on your show. Tell me about CrossFit. I know, like, so I first heard about CrossFit a couple years ago when a guy who worked for me, like, it seemed like a cult at first.
It is.
It is. So,
it is.
So
did
tell
you
me,
watch the CrossFit Games this weekend on ESPN?
Pretty
nuts.
Yeah.
It is based on powerlifting, but what's been added in is strengthening and an endurance as well, so that people like me can do it. But there are a lot of moves from powerlifting, which I've never done before, and it's challenging in every way. Every part of your body is worked, no matter what you're doing. Some of the workouts are very short and speedy spurts. Others are longer. Do as many as you can in a certain amount of time.
Right.
But then every day is different, so you're never doing anything the same 2 days in a row, and it's good about because it's about muscle confusion.
Is there something lost when you said it's really great workout, it's awesome for, I feel like if I did it every day for a period of time, I'd feel really great. Is there something lost, though, when you start, like, having working out be a competition, or is that like, I feel like, I feel like there were a lot of my friends who were kind of bummed when one of the people they knew, I think his name's Josh, was in around here somewhere, got like disqualified from the CrossFit Games, and everybody was so bummed about, you know, CrossFit in general, and it was like a big hoopla. When shouldn't it just be kind of about doing what you need to do and feeling good?
Yes, but it is a sport. Because there's competition.
Okay.
There's time, there's strength, there's fitness, there's endurance, agility, flexibility, and balance.
Sure.
So it really has become a sport unlike any other. A little bit like obstacle courses when we were little. Okay?
That's
I know
what
it's
it does
hard
remind,
to look back
no,
and
no,
battle
that's
the
what
network
it does
stars.
Remind me of.
But yeah,
when I watch
it,
that's exactly
it's
what
like
it
circuit
me of.
Training in a competitive arena.
It's like Double Dare.
Yes. Family Double Dare?
Wipeout.
Yes. but it's it's healthy for some if you're smart
sure.
about it.
Right.
But someone like me, who's close to 50, I have to be smart and not do it every day and try to lift like a 23-year-old. I can be competitive, but only to a certain level.
Yeah.
Luckily, my sport is roller derby and CrossFit's my cross training. But I don't know if I could at my age and with my injuries and my past and my history be a CrossFit athlete at this age. I don't think it would be possible.
Or to do it every day.
I would like to do it every day, probably after derby, just to see what I could do, like maybe 5 days a week. But right now I just do it as cross training. But the camaraderie in the gym and the box is just nuts. I mean, you're screaming and cheering for everyone, whoever's not done, to get girls to get their 15th rep. I mean, there's some gnarly athletes.
There's like a lot of camaraderie. Even though it is a competition, a lot of camaraderie.
Nobody competes against each other at the boxes. They compete out in the world when they go to competitions.
Okay.
So the only time you compete is when you go to a CrossFit Games.
Gotcha.
We've got a couple coming up.
A regional
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, we have one coming up that I think Inferno's doing at the end of the summer. And then CrossFit Five Cities is doing one in September. And Ventura has one in Santa Barbara. So that's when you compete. When you're in the gym, you're competing only with yourself.
Okay.
Now, is the price a little steep? It kind of outprices a lot of folks.
I don't know the price.
But they use it. They do it every day is the thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a. I feel like there's something connected there as far as that goes. I want to ask you about roller derby too, because I am coming kind of with my tail between my legs.
Because you've never come to see a game.
Because last time I had you on the podcast, this is your second time on the podcast, and I told you I'd come see one this year. You've been to one.
I've been to a game.
All right.
Have you been to a game when I was playing?
I have. Because you know my like second mom, her name is Robin.
Yeah, Robin Kinney.
Robin Kinney.
We all know Robin.
We all grew up with her.
So you've come to see me in San Maria?
Well, I came and watched the game. Robin invited me and I came and saw a game. And it was awesome. I mean, it was so intense.
Did you come to Santa Maria or Paso?
Santa Maria.
Oh, a home game.
It was a home game.
Yeah. I like the home games.
No, it was really a fun time.
Yeah.
And not just fun. I mean, those girls are...
We work hard. No, we're not mean. We're just aggressive.
Mean's a good thing. I mean, I mean, come on, it's an aggressive sport.
Yeah, but
I don't mean mean in general. I mean mean when you're, you know, competing.
When you put your skates on, you become someone else.
Yeah, I mean,
but they come after me, so I guess they're mean to me because I'm not mean.
I mean, Robin. I can speak for Robin. She's always been a tough chick. But,
see, that's what. Yeah,
but not to the extent that I saw her. Okay.
Yeah.
When she put those skates on, it was a whole rockin' different lady.
Robin. Tweet.
Like rocking people out.
Seriously.
Like, no joke.
You didn't even say hello to me when you were there. Did you see me play? Or was I coaching her? Was it last year or this year?
You were coaching.
Oh, and we beat Paso, and I was her coach. Did you stay for the second game?
Yes.
Because that's the one I played in.
Yeah.
Dodge blue helmet.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Dodge her blue helmet.
Dodge her
So how do you handle Robin's love of the Giants?
It's difficult.
Robin and Mike are big Giants.
They are big. Yeah,
me and Mike go back and forth a lot.
She posted something on Facebook recently, wine stopper in a bottle of Tobin James, and it was a San Francisco Giants stopper. And I'm like, well, man, and I think Tobin James wine is garbage. So, and I didn't want to put that on Facebook because...
Two peas in a pod.
Well, you know, exactly. I didn't want to say that because, you know, 1,000 followers. I try to be respectful. But really, it was like garbage stopping garbage. It was perfect. In fact, I haven't told her that. I need to because Tobin James wine is garbage.
You're not a big fan.
No, it's a party.
Way overpriced.
Yeah. The building is a recipe for danger. I mean, they get people totally wasted. It's not about tasting wine. It's about getting drunk.
Interesting.
And the driving around that area after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon is scary coming out of that winery. Seriously, I would say this to them too.
There's that barn out there right on Union Road.
Yeah, I would say this to them too. I think they're the most irresponsible wine tasting room I've ever seen in my life because they just promote getting wasted. Sad. It's really sad because there's some good wine around here.
And that's not what it's all about. And that's not what it's all about, right?
Not there. Mm-mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, so it's nice that I got to rip Tobin James on your podcast. Thank you. I've been kind of waiting.
Are they on the list over there? Yeah. Just double check.
They're not a partner.
They're not a partner, and they never will be.
Okay. That's good.
Have you? Go ahead.
What if we wanted them to be a partner? I guess that's toast.
Yeah, that's out the window. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you have 262 other wineries in this area that you can ask.
There are so many good wineries.
I'll refer you to a couple.
But I was thinking I could get Toby a little drunk and then have him, you know, sign a contract or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, it's easy. Just have him taste in his own wine tasting room because everybody gets drunk
there.
That's
toast now.
What's your favorite wine?
I would say Le Cuvier in Paso. It's up in the northern end of Paso. Chamisal, if you're in San Luis Obispo, is just delicious. Tally is the best Chardonnay around. I mean, it just depends.
I don't know wine, but Chamisal is some good stuff.
It's killer.
Yeah.
And Costa de Oro in Santa Maria. Cambria in Santa Maria does a really nice Chardonnay. Yeah, there's some beautiful wines around here, man.
Cambria and Santa Maria.
I know. Isn't that weird? Yeah. I don't know why they call their wine Cambria, but it's been there for a while. And they have a female winemaker, which is cool.
We all went to high school in Cambria. And
Coast Union.
And
Broncos. 8-man football.
And now they are.
Don't mention it now.
Andy was the JV coach up there for a while, too. But I
still play 9-man baseball. I was the varsity coach for a couple years. We still play 9 guys.
Part of your syndicate's from Cambria, right?
Yeah, my syndicate that's basically falling apart in the next couple weeks. They're all leaving.
So are you looking for new syndication?
I am looking for new people to join the CJ Silas Show syndicate. You're all welcome, though I can't pay you a penny.
Yeah.
But you're sure welcome to come along and put ESPN on your resume.
There you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know a few of those people are from Cambria Coast Union, the bouncer and the...
The bouncer, Nick Morse.
Yeah,
Cammy Spizak, my intern.
Uh-huh.
And yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Luke remembers Nick.
Yeah, Luke and I both coached Nick in basketball.
Oh, really?
Nick. Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
He was hard to defend.
And you also know one of my former roller derby referees and coaches, Randy Dirks. Randy Eye Candy.
Randy was in my class.
He is. He really, honestly, I would not be skating without him. He taught me so much of what I know. Yeah, he taught me how to put my anger in my skates and take it out of my head.
There you go. Yeah, Randy's a really good guy. Yeah, we go back a long time.
Cool. Well, I know you're on a time crunch here, so we'll take a break here. We'll let CJ go. CJ, thanks for coming on the show again.
I really do want to come back when you do your book reading.
And
Come on, I'm serious. Right, we could do like a little, you know, fansmanship.com book group, and we each bring our favorite book and we read a chapter to each other. I'll bring my book.
Chapter 5.
Since I'm
five.
The only one reading it. And my mother.
Seriously, though, if you want to read a good baseball book, it's called Out of My League.
But seriously.
Papers. Or if you want to hear a good song by Fitz and the Tantrums, it's called Out of
Out of my
League
as well. Awesome.
Yep, yep.
Thanks, CJ. We'll be back on the podcast. And welcome back to the Fansmanship Podcast with Luke Johnson and Andy Stevens. Owen Main here. And we want to thank CJ for coming on our podcast.
Absolutely.
For doing what she does. CJ is also the Hancock College, and Luke's playing with our earphones here because he wasn't listening when we were doing the testing, and now he's made mine sound weird as well. What are you doing over there? Can you hear yours now?
No, I could hear it.
Because I can only hear out of one ear now that you did that. So.
Checkity check.
Can you leave
but
mine
yeah,
alone?
So along with play-by-play frown. Hancock football. Yep. She's the PA for
Cal Poly Baseball. And her show's on ESPN Radio 1280 from 7 to 8 on Wednesday nights. I definitely recommend it. Wednesday nights are a good night to listen to ESPN Radio, especially when it comes to local stuff. You have the Sports Bite at 5. You have Living the Run at 6 with Rex Stevens.
It is kind of their local programming
then,
night, isn't
right,
it?
Right, and then you have CJ at 7, and then I think at 10 or 11 is when the Slow Late Show comes on. I always just listen to the podcast of the Slow Late Show, but they come on at 10 or 11 and do a good job there as well. So,
right.
I definitely recommend that, and thanks to CJ again for coming on. We're actually going to guest host CJ's show, I think August is the 18th, mm-hmm. in a couple weeks here. So
he
we're
says
Fansmanship. Bringing the fire.
I don't know if it says it on it right there.
Bringing the fire for a day. So that should be a great time, too. So, Luke, my wife is a day past her due date.
My wife.
What should I be preparing for? Your daughter's, what, a week and a half old now?
She's 2 weeks and a day.
2 weeks and a day? Okay.
Yes.
So what should I be prepared for?
And sorry about the motorcycle. We are on remote here in Grover Beach.
We got the garage open, and that's what happens.
Well, that was a perfect metaphor for what you should be prepared for.
Just to get run over?
No.
By loud noises.
You're not
going to
sleep
you awake
as much.
Loud noises!
You're not going to sleep as much. They're going to have explosions in their pants.
Well, yeah.
But you say, well, yeah, but then the consistency of explosions that you're taking care of is something that you've just never experienced before. So, consistent explosions in their pants.
Uh-huh.
They wake up in the middle of the night, and it's just so you know you don't have the free time anymore that you used to have.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah,
but you're sitting here doing this podcast, so you made it happen.
Yeah, but you have to pick and choose your moments a lot.
You
more.
You have to plan it better.
Yeah, because you don't want to be one of those old men that just like takes off and the wife has to just take care of everything, right?
Give me a good line from an old man like that. Like, what would an old guy like that say?
Yeah.
Yeah. You change diapers, I drink beer.
There you go. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
I want to ask you about the Angels because CJ was here and I didn't want to ask
all
her about
Dodger
that.
Blue.
It was, she's a big Dodger fan and we're big Dodger fans here at Fansmanship generally on the podcast, although we would like more Giants fans.
Yeah,
so if
would.
You're a Giants fan and you, or you know a Giants fan.
We had
fan,
Miles Davis on recently.
We did from LPMD mm-hmm. who does all of our music. But Pujols, basically is looking at being maybe out for the season. He's had a plantar fascia issue on the bottom of his foot all season.
He hasn't been running well.
It's been affecting his swing probably.
Everything.
The bottom of your foot is where everything starts when it comes to athletics.
He hasn't had the explosion.
So are you actually like happy that he's kind of getting it taken care of now? Since the Angels are, what are they, like 14 games out or something?
I'm totally happy he's doing that because if we're going to pay the guy the kind of money we're paying him, I want at least 80% of the old Pujols. And this year we've had probably 60%. So, I mean, when does Albert Pujols hit 249? It just doesn't happen. Right. You know, even last year when he got off that horrible start, he still ended up hitting like 290. But his power's way down. And I would rather, I would like him just to take care of it. We've also called up a decent minor leaguer in his replacement because we can stick Mark Trumbo at the first base.
Cole Calhoun?
Yeah, Cole Calhoun, actually. He's actually a really good player.
Yeah, I heard about him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
so he's getting a chance to play even though they're not necessarily winning you feel like you're building for the future by getting Pujols healthy and getting Calhoun.
Yeah,
some
because I think
time.
It's pretty clear, and I think any wise Angel fan would know that the future doesn't rest in the hands of Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton. is Hamilton's is his slump an anomaly?
Right.
I don't think so.
So you think the slump is going to be kind of a permanent deal? Do you think that having Pujols and Hamilton on a roster is a there's a possibility that the Angels at some point win a championship with Pujols and Hamilton on their roster?
I do, but they won't be the stars on those teams.
Because they're signed for so long. It'll be like at the end of their contract you're picturing.
No, I think if the Angels can shore up their middle relief, maybe grab a couple more pitchers, it could happen earlier than later.
Right.
But, Pujols is not getting any younger. I've heard rumors he might be 3 or 4 years older than what we've actually heard. I mean, it's a possibility. Hamilton has said himself that the drugs probably worn his body 3 or 4 years. So
sure.
he's a really old 31-year-old. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
So yeah.
So that's kind of it doesn't. I mean, that's kind of a bleak outlook for an Angels fan, right? I mean, as far as that goes. I mean, Trout's still young. You have a good amount. Trumbo's young.
It's not bleak because I think that those two guys, even in their down years, are going to hit 25 to 30 home runs. And yeah, they won't be the 300 guys they once were.
Right.
But I mean, you can't pay enough to have two guys who hit 25 home runs in the middle of your lineup with guys like Trumbo still coming on and Trout coming on and,
okay.
and you know, small ball guys like Howie and Ibar who are young, you know, so.
So you still have kind of a long view, even though this year you're kind of thinking, I mean.
I tossed in the towel.
Yeah, you've tossed in the towel for this year. And one thing that happened this week, Andy, is that Luke gave you some real nice props and kind of a. Backhanded slapped me in the process, saying that
did you just say backhand slap my prostate in the process?
I didn't say prostate. Oh. No, that was in.
That's what happens when I can't hear out of these things. I think I hear prostate. Go ahead.
I want to know what else you want to
enunciate your words.
Okay, my question is actually it's not a question. It's a question. The question is when you told Andy that he was. The only Dodger fan that you knew who didn't throw in the towel for the Dodgers this year.
Yeah, if I start talking about prostates again, it's because this thing's a little finicky.
But you can see my mouth right now.
I can see.
And you should be able to hear me.
Can you see the wounds out of my mouth?
Because you're 2.5 feet away from me. So
that was funny, though. It's just like a couple of eyes looking over me.
The eyes of the clown,
our mics don't hang down from the ceiling.
Do what you need to do.
I'm staring at you.
at
your mouth.
So
what is your question?
Really, you think I threw in the towel in the Dodgers this year just because I was mad at them? Honestly,
I think that's really.
I mean, that's
easy.
A really big accusation to make that Andy was the only Dodger fan that stuck with him.
I think maybe he thinks that because sometimes Owen, you can be very condescending towards your team if you want to call it mad at them. Yes, but you're kind of a glass half empty kind of outlook sometimes. Doesn't mean necessarily that you've given up on them. It just means you kind of always think of the negative.
I can be mad at them.
I'm just saying that's probably what he thinks.
I think there's two kinds of fans. There's the irrational fandom, and then there's more of the rationalist.
Okay.
I think you're probably a little more of a rationalist, but you can sometimes be a little irrational too. But the point I'm trying to make is that I think. Well, Andy's going to take offense to this now, but I think Andy's more of that true blue, just like, not that he's irrational, but just, it is what it is.
Dumb love,
and that's just who he is. And both fans serve a purpose. But I don't like when the rationalist, which is myself, I'm that way too, I tossed in the towels, the towel on the Angels. If they all of a sudden go on some crazy streak, am I going to be stoked that they're in the playoffs? Sure. But am I going to sit there and act like I stuck it through with them all year? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the point.
I don't think I ever said though that like the Dodgers were done.
You never said okay. Yeah. Did you ever actually say word for word the Dodgers are done? But you've said
or that they had no chance this year.
You've made statements about a month ago, numerous times that made it very bleak, as if the Dodgers.
I said
weren't
it's not
going
looking
to
good.
Do.
Yeah, I've said that.
Yeah, and so it wasn't a slap
and
in your face.
And it wasn't looking good.
It was the truth.
You know, it wasn't looking good.
So you're saying I was telling the truth, but because I was telling the truth, I wasn't as good a fan?
Being a rationalist, I think you were telling more of the truth. I think you were seeing what you saw, and you were breaking it down.
So should I be any less happy now about what's going on?
No, you could be happy, but it doesn't mean that you were like you were gut wrenchingly there the entire time. And he was, like he said, he's got dumb love for the Dodgers. You know,
it's, even dumber love for the Lakers because even if the Lakers stay,
that's a great
even
point.
If the first round this year,
that's I'm still going to yeah, think that's they a have a chance point. To win it all. Right. Just because, sure.
You know. And both fans serve a purpose. They both create the atmosphere at you know at the game. I think.
Sure, absolutely, and I think it's interesting because I think the irrational fan you don't see as much of because of Facebook. And I think, let me just finish though, because when you're on Facebook, you can see what you're writing and you can kind of monitor yourself and you can kind of edit yourself sometimes when you're writing something that has to do with being on a fan. When you're talking about it, there's not that editing that happens when you do something in writing, which is why I said, do you prove it? Because I think I would have edited that if I would have ever actually written it.
Sure.
Okay.
I had a question about Pujols too. Luke, because I'm kind of curious as to what you think that his future will be. Will he ever be close to what he once was? I recently no. traded
You don't
for
think
him.
So?
Well, I recently traded for
That's
him.
That's right.
And I'm thinking about, and he could be one of my offensive keepers for next year in my fantasy baseball league, one of the ones that I pay to play in. And
right.
I'm just wondering what the future outlook you think of Pujols and maybe the next 3 years down the road.
I think he'll have...
How many years? Does he have 5 years left? 6 years left?
I think he's got a lot of years left as far as playing at the level he's playing at.
On his contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
Playing at this level. And I think most teams will still take Albert Pujols at this level.
Sure.
You'll take a 250 guy who's going to hit 28 home runs. Yeah. You know? And that's kind of the pace he was on. So
that's slightly above average, I'd say, for a first baseman.
Do I think, though, that... But I think that Albert Pujols probably... It's hard to imagine that he's, like, done in the sense that there's no more MVP-like years. I would think that he's probably got a couple of surprising years left on his contract where he'll just all of a sudden he'll be hitting 325 again with like 40 home runs and we'll all be like, what the heck? Where did that guy come from?
Or maybe like he'll be on a 50 home run pace and then get hurt or something like that. Like
or something
maybe,
like that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
See, that's kind of my question is, do you think that he still has it in him because he's been a guy that's been 30, 100, you know, 300 average for what, 10 years in a row, whatever it was. Does he have it in him, you think, to say this year, God, what an unbelievably horrible year I had. I'm going to sell out to come back as hard as I possibly can next year, have my surgery, and then just in the off season work his tail off and come back and be close to what he once was, have that really bounce back year. Do you think that's possible?
I do, but I think that it's hard to know with Albert Pujols because the type of character he is, he's never been a big media guy. He's not the fiery part of the, you know, on
I know
a team.
A machine. I just said Albert.
Yeah, he's not. He's really. He kind of undermines his talent. I mean, he did that when he was with the Cardinals.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I actually have a question. I on the last podcast that Andy and I did with Miles, we asked Miles kind of, and I think probably this might have. I don't know if you listened to it. If you did. I wanted to kind of give you a chance to respond because we did kind of bag on the Angels for a second. Miles talked about, like, I asked Miles, you know, like, who in LA is stoked about the Angels or is following the Angels or cares about the Angels? And he said he didn't really know a lot of people. I'm picturing, like, you know, the Roques or something, right, who maybe like the Angels or something. I don't know who I know who's besides Luke, who's, like, really a huge Angels
Rocky,
fan.
Rocky, Jeff Myers is also an Angels fan.
There you go. So there's a few people. And we talked about, you know, it being below, just kind of very specific in terms of location to Orange County.
Sure.
And there not being a big, like, diaspora like there are of other fans.
Sure.
Is that something that you kind of take pride in then? Like an A's fan would here too, I think. That it's a, you know, you're a fan of this team that's kind of maybe the second banana in a big market, maybe.
I've always said that, you know, there's imperial powers and then there's not imperial powers. And the Dodgers are one of them. And the Yankees are one of them. And the Red Sox are one of them. And
one of the imperial powers?
Yeah.
So you don't think the Angels are?
No, not at all. I just don't think that that's who they are. That's not their identity. And that's why probably a lot of Angel fans are a little upset over the signings. Not Pujols, probably Hamilton a little bit.
Because they're maybe trying to become that in a sense by changing their
name. They're trying to challenge LA for the front page.
They've become a little Disney, you know, because Disney's involved there. And
Are they again?
Yeah, there's some kind of involvement there. And Artie's a smart manager. Nothing against Artie Moreno. He's got a lot of money, too, so he figures just dough it out. But
Sure.
But I think guys like Cole Calhoun and Mike Trout and Mark Trumbo and
you know, some of these cats, Ivar,
hey, Gunger.
Ivar came out of the system. Jared Weaver came out of the system. Right. Howie Kendrick came out of the system. They've quietly always had a really good farm system. And if you're an old school Angels fans, who I always liken that to, I kind of liken it to pre Vlad Guerrero. If you're pre Vlad Guerrero,
Gary DeSarcina,
you know, yeah. If you're watching the DeSarcina years,
Pettis,
you miss that team a little bit, because when the Angels won the World Series in 02, it was a really freaking big deal.
Yeah,
it would still be a big deal now, but I think with these two big faces kind of around Trout now, who's a big star, although he was very organic in how he came out, it wouldn't maybe quite feel the same because you spent a lot of money to get there.
Right. Yeah. And so do you think it would be like, would it cheapen a championship? Because I feel like
I don't think a ship's
a ship, though, right?
I mean, a ship's a ship. But when you come from the background that most Angel fans come from, like you're saying, they're speckled throughout. They're not the most popular team in California.
Right.
You do marvel in that sort of small ball, come out of nowhere.
So is it frustrating then when your team spends a bunch of money? Maybe
a little bit, because part of my,
because then you kind of become one of those imperial powers when you're outspending the Dodgers.
And then it's
the last
even worse
years.
When you don't win after you do that.
Right.
It's like, ugh,
I think
it's like two knives
in your
stomach.
Yeah, I think but from a monetary standpoint, they were smart moves. I mean, the second the Angels signed Pujols, they signed a multi-billion-dollar TV deal.
Right.
So people are like, wow, you've just bankrupt yourself with the Pujols contract. No, Artie Moreno's a smart business guy.
And that's the same thing the Dodgers did. If you're in LA, you have this deal for sure. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back on the fansmanship.com podcast. And we're back again on the fansmanship.com podcast. It is our final segment, and I have a question for you, gentlemen.
Yes.
When I say the words, football starts in a few weeks, and training camp already has started, but real football starts in a matter of weeks, not months now, what goes through your mind?
Cheerleaders.
Fantasy football magazines.
I actually have a question. You said cheerleaders.
I play in a lot of leagues. I'm in 6 leagues this year, so I'm hoping to be in the black. Last year I was in the red total, so I need to start getting better at my fantasy football because I make my money playing baseball. This year's not going to be so good in one of the league that you're in with me, but that's what I think of is studying up on the players.
And the Slow Late Show is accepting players into their league, and Levine was actually talking about maybe creating a fansmanship league again. I know nice. We tried that a few years ago,
yeah.
But maybe we can kind of resurrect the fansmanship league as well. You said you had a few things you wanted to kind of touch on, Luke, as far as football goes. Adrian Peterson maybe one of them?
Well, no, I don't really care about that. He just basically made a stupid comment that he's going to surpass Emmitt Smith in 2017. No,
I heard that on the radio.
He did the math.
Yeah, no, but I'm really intrigued, and forgive me for falling victim to just the media hype, but I want to get your guys' take on him. I'm so intrigued with Geno Smith. Are you guys also? I mean, do you think he's a possible, like...
He's on the Jets, right?
Yeah, he's
Sanchez is already like on the hot seat.
I'm just so intrigued. Now, granted, you know, it could just be a political move that his players are saying this, but they're all coming out, and those Jets players are just saying
they like him.
They're calling him like the truth. And
well,
stuff.
Geno Smith, I think, is very prototypical. He's not really a guy that's going to move around as much that you may think that he would be. I remember seeing him in college. He had a lot of weapons. He had guys like Tavon Austin playing with him. Who was that other little wide receiver they had there at West Virginia? He had a really good back that he played with. So he definitely had weapons. He had a really good offense in college. He was a fifth-year senior. Mm-hmm. I think the transition to the pros it's not going to be as seamless as it was for guys like, you know, Kaepernick, RG3, guys like that, because he doesn't have that extra dimension running the football. But I do think that he, as of right now, would be a better option than Sanchez. We've already seen what Sanchez can do. You know, if Geno Smith wins the job, he should be the guy.
Right.
Then you get rid of a guy like Sanchez.
But then Sanchez, like, he's got no more career, essentially. He's a career backup after
he
that.
He becomes a backup somewhere. Maybe he gets another opportunity down the road. But
do you think he got a raw deal, or do you think he got too much time? Because I feel like it's one or the other.
I think he got a little bit too much time, actually. What is it, 4 years or something like that?
Yeah,
but you know the Jets are the Jets. What have
no,
you ever
I mean I'm not really concerned
the
about the Jets, but I just something about Geno Smith. I don't know. I've seen him play. I saw him play a little bit in college, and like I said, I'm probably just doing what everybody else is doing right now, just hopping on the bandwagon with him. But I don't know. I wasn't really impressed with him when I first saw him, but then I saw a game against I can't remember. But he was a lot more mobile than you're saying. But maybe you're saying his speed isn't good enough at a pro
to
level.
Do those things in the pros, right?
He's, yeah, okay. He's not.
Now, how? Now you probably know because you really watch college football a lot.
I would
these.
Say
how
he's
is his
more
arm?
Like
is his arm pretty solid?
Yeah, I say his arm is definitely, you know, B plus to A minus. I would liken him maybe to a guy like. Not Byron Leftwich, but
like Rivers, like mobile, like Rivers, or like Cutler.
Maybe because
Cutler moved a little
Cutler.
Bit coming out.
Cutler
of,
has a cannon. He can't.
Well, so
throw
does Rivers.
It, he
yeah.
can't throw it like Cutler.
Yeah.
Rivers doesn't really have a cannon. Rivers throws it in a very
he has
awkward,
that girly,
way.
Awkward thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he has a cannon like
three
Cutler,
quarters.
You know,
but he still throws. He gets
would,
the ball where it needs
I would
to
compare
go.
Him as far as getting the ball where it needs to be. Having a little bit of mobility within the pocket, being able to maybe not gain positive yards rushing the ball, but just creating more time.
Like a Tom Brady.
Getting out, exactly. Well, even more
no,
than
but
that. Just getting outside the pocket maybe a little bit. I would like it maybe to a Phillip Rivers type of talent mm-hmm. Coming out of college.
Got it. Yeah. One football thing that I'm kind of excited about, and I'm making my plans now, and you guys should join me, Cal Poly football season's coming up. They start off the season at home against San Diego. They play at, at
San Diego.
Fresno
you mean,
State.
You mean USD?
USD, just like they did last year, and they housed those guys last year, and theoretically they should this year too. But then they go to Fresno State and go to Colorado State on back-to-back weekends.
Wow!
Yeah.
And the Fresno State trip—that'd
be cool.
That's Scroggins' home turf. He's a Fresno State grad.
We should
so
plan to go back to Fresno
when
State.
Back
game.
When he was dropping dope rhymes.
That's right. So me and him, and he talked about Brian Mill making the trip too. Maybe who's been on our podcast a number of times. Have you guys actually met Brian?
I met him through like Google.
Like
video
one time
or
yeah.
whatever.
When okay.
We had,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, but Brian, it might be going over too. So we should just make it like a party and like go over there and have at it.
And what day is
it? It's a Saturday.
Is it early on in the season?
It's a Saturday early night, September. Second week. So it's like the second week, first or second Saturday of September.
Okay. Now, not to kill the party, but the baby's on her way. It could, there could be a stall there. I'm just saying.
The baby's coming before August 12th.
Yeah, but the baby will be there, is what I'm saying.
Hey,
I'm just no.
It's
I'm,
not like it's
no.
over. It's not.
No.
It's actually just beginning.
Yeah, no. I'm not speaking like you know, like your life is over. I'm just saying we may have to attach a camera to, you know, Scrog and work it that way.
I'm going to try to work it out to go, and I may have to take a work
I'd
trip
like
the
to
next
go.
Week.
I'd like
to
go.
Colorado, so I may try to. Get the Colorado State.
You know
game
what?
As well.
I am going to the mountains though. Sometimes I can't remember when it is in September.
Can you go to the creek and do a little fishing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me and my dad, we and a bunch of other friends, we go up in the East Sierras up there, up by Cherry Lake, all the way up there. What's that place called? Bridgeport.
You know what's on the way to Cherry Lake?
It's almost to Reno.
Fresno's on the way to Cherry Lake.
Cherry Lake.
Fresno State on the way to Cherry Lake.
Cherry Lake. She's like the African American Ricky Lake. Cherry Lake.
What was that face on?
He
was like trying to be serious. You're not a very good actor on. He's like trying to. It's like, I am serious right now. You gotta be serious.
Cherry Lake.
Yeah, on the way to Cherry Lake, you can.
Virginia
you can
Lake.
Stop
up
at,
there up there
you can stop at Fresno. At Fresno
Cherry
State.
Cherry Lake.
Your pops would love
well,
to go
well,
to Cal Poly at Fresno
well,
State.
Let me
again.
Just see what when we're going, all right?
Big Dave can come. We'll get him a ticket.
I know that we're going like on a Thursday or Friday, so
we'll do some serious tailgating.
I think it might be later on in the month, though. I think we might be good here.
How much are the Seahawks going to totally surprise everyone and take that division
and beat the Niners? Yeah,
yes.
I was going to ask Miles about
I'm
that
so
last week,
pumped.
And I forgot to.
I'm so freaking pumped on the Seahawks.
Are you really?
Yes.
I like those two teams matching up because they're two very defensive-minded teams. They have great defenses. They're two teams that have young, really exciting, mobile quarterbacks. You know, and I was thinking earlier that the X factor might be a guy like Percy Harvin because the
he's
Seahawks
out.
Just picked him
he's
up.
He's out for the season?
But he could be out
no.
for the
he's
season.
He's on the pup list right
it's,
now.
Yeah, it's undecided. You know, both have really solid backs, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch. The Niners have already lost.
Crabtree. 6 to 8 weeks.
I think Russell Wilson takes a step back this year. I think
really?
Kaepernick takes a step forward. And
oh, really?
I think,
that's funny because I was seeing. I'm
thinking
the
opposite. Yeah. Yeah. I think Kaepernick comes into like the. Gets himself into like the Roethlisberger conversation this year. Not in terms
wow.
of. Just in terms of like skill level right now.
Big time mantle right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Like
I
he's
think
legit
he,
top
he gets
seven
himself
quarterback.
Into, yeah. That top 5 to 7 quarterback legitimate all year. range. I think, and I think Russell Wilson, who was that like seventh, maybe best quarterback last season, maybe drops down between like 10 and 15. And I think that makes a difference between in the division.
Well, yeah, because I was thinking the opposite. I was seeing, even though I know Kaepernick has a gun, I was thinking, man, teams are going to key on that guy. He doesn't have Crabtree. He's going to be forced to throw the football a lot.
You know what they have to do that
year?
I don't understand that the Niners don't do?
Gore's always one tweak away from being toast.
Well, they do have some solid backs now. James, LaMichael James out of Oregon is kind of coming into his own.
Yeah, but he's Frank Gore.
No, he's a third down guy. Yeah. They also got, who did they draft? I can't remember this. We were just talking about it the other day. I was talking about it with a friend who they drafted. I was talking about
Receiver.
No. Talked about last. Not week. AJ Jenkins. Yeah. But they drafted AJ Jenkins. But they also drafted a back. I can't remember. But at any rate, if I was the offensive coordinator of the Niners, I would find ways to utilize Vernon Davis. It seems like they don't do that.
I'm always upset about it. Right.
Why don't they split him out wide and get him in a bad matchup situation with a linebacker or something like that?
And you know what sucks?
One on one stuff. They don't do that. They have too much power tight end stuff, and tight ends are in too tight.
And you know what sucks is I think that the new Vernon Davis compared to the old that started off where he was just cocky and wouldn't listen to anybody and was totally uncomfortable.
The one that obviously he's a great player now.
Obviously the new version is much better.
Yeah, he's a great player.
It's much better. But I do think with the way that they aren't using him, in some ways I wish I almost think he's become too friendly. When you see him in the media, he's real smiley and oh man, Kaepernick's the real. You know when he came out about Kaepernick, how Kaepernick's the real deal and all this. I almost think that his fire has been squelched. I want to see that guy be like, you know what? I'm here for everybody. I'm a team player, but give me the ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
Pull a Keyshawn. Give me the damn ball.
You want Vernon to be like aggressive and assertive, and maybe he will be this year. Maybe he needs to be, and maybe he will be, and maybe Kaepernick and then
say to his position coach or the coordinator, you know, I feel like I have to be a bigger part of this offense for us to be successful this year. Can we figure out some ways for me to get the ball a little bit more?
It's not a
selfish thing. We need me to help the team win. Now that Crabtree's out, we got so many more younger guys.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was he talked Kaepernick up when that whole, you know, quarterback change happened because he just thought he was the truth. But Alex Smith, I mean, he was Alex Smith's main target,
right?
And so it's kind of interesting. It's like he was pumped on Kaepernick, but then Kaepernick used Crabtree a lot last year.
Yeah, and I think that's him being a team guy too, really pumping up his young quarterback who he knew was going to be the guy. And I think Vernon Davis will get the ball more. I feel like Vernon Davis is going to be a top two or three tight end. You're going to have guys like Jimmy Graham, of course. But beyond a few other guys in the league, Vernon Davis is really, I'd say, you know, as far as talent goes, maybe the second best tight end right now.
He's being drafted in mock drafts right now below Tony Gonzalez.
That's a steal. That's a steal because the Niners are going to use him
more. But see,
his
numbers.
They will use him
more. His numbers are no good.
His numbers weren't that good.
He will have better numbers this year. And I guess that's also a product of...
So you think he's a buy-low kind of candidate?
That's also a product of him playing for the 49ers, who have a defensive-oriented team, who run the ball a lot, who don't run a lot of plays on offense. They're the anti-Eagles. The Eagles this year are going to run a ton of plays on offense. I'm interested to see how that goes. It's going to be a sideshow, but it's going to be fun with Vic and everybody. I mean, you know, somebody...
It's too bad that Macklin got hurt, too, because he's one of those receivers... Like
you can put in the backfield,
really fits
in
that offense. Like kind of how Jackson, they're going to use Jackson that way this year too. Eagles, so
absolutely, but
should be fun.
But I think the Niners are the anti-Eagles in that they're not going to run a lot of plays. So yeah, I mean, I guess in the true numbers sense, Davis is kind of behind the eight ball. But I think he surprises guys this year and gets himself even numbers wise into the top.
Last year he averaged like 4 catches, 45 yards, right. And like less than half a touchdown.
It wasn't
a game.
Even quite 4 catches, I don't think.
I mean, it was
he had about 50.
He had a bunch of games with like zero. He had like a couple games with zero, and that should never happen with a guy like Vernon Davis.
Right. So you think Kaepernick's he's going to be able to adapt and like come into that dropback role?
Last year I was a huge Kaepernick skeptic.
He's not going to run all over everybody this year.
I hate guys getting their job taken away like Alex Smith did last year after he played so damn well.
I know.
I just hate that so much on a lot of levels. And so I was a Kaepernick, you know, I wasn't really high on Kaepernick. I thought, you know, this guy's going to get shown up at some point about how young he is. He took that team in all those playoff games. He was the guy that made plays. He got them to where they were. I mean, not single-handedly, but he was one of the main guys on that team. He played like a winning quarterback. And He proved me wrong. I said to myself,
he stepped up in his very few spots.
There's no way a rookie quarterback can do what he did.
Well, see, the thing about the Niners offense is maybe a little bit misleading, or the way that they ran it when they had Smith is Jim Harbaugh knew that he wasn't going to be the guy that made the mistake. They ran a lot of power stuff. They ran a lot of three tight end stuff, some basic play action stuff. I mean, they were just so precise with their run blocking schemes and their ability to run the football that it made Alex Smith's job that much easier. Yeah. So a lot of it, I think, is scheme and having the defense off balance is the reason why he was able to be so successful.
Well, I mean, we're going to find out this
over
year.
Over being so talented.
Yeah.
A lot of it was that.
And the other thing, I think,
in those third and two situations a lot where you have the defense off balance and you can maybe get a big play down the field.
We're going to find out this year.
And all that being said, I think, Luke, you're right. The Seahawks do have an opportunity. And I think the loss of Justin Smith on the defensive line for the Niners.
That's right, I forgot about that.
And I'm not talking about Justin Smith, the
Not Smitty. Smitty's just chilling.
Who once told us on the football field that if we let the other team score a touchdown, he was going to kick all our asses on Monday. That was the greatest moment ever in my sophomore year of football.
And it was great because we're just like, yeah, whatever, Smitty. We don't need your motivation. We're already motivated, so we did it anyway. Not because of Smitty.
They scored a touchdown on the next play, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to get my ass kicked on Monday. But
Smitty.
Justin Smith's going to be a big loss for the Niners, too. And I think it's interesting because their defense, you just assume it's going to be good because they have Harbaugh and they're tough and they have Alden Smith and other guys.
Right.
But Alden Smith didn't do that well without Justin Smith in the lineup last year. So it's definitely going to be an interesting...
Speaking about Justin Smith, I have a great story.
Justin Smith from Cambria?
No, about the Justin Smith for the 49ers.
Pray tell.
Okay, I'm not going to really, I'm going to try to be PC here, which is I'm not very good at. But, so I have my cousin knows a player on the 49ers. That's a good way to start it. Okay.
Patrick Willis.
Okay. And, anyways, he went to a party with Patrick Willis and at a club, and Patrick Willis had bought out like a whole big portion, blah, blah, blah.
That's probably a normal.
Normal.
Yeah.
When your cousin tried to leave, did he like stand in front of him and like
try to
remember the commercial, Willis commercial where he's like,
check
not letting the guy leave his house?
Check this out. My cousin is a big white guy, but he looks nothing like Justin Smith.
Yeah.
My cousin said they were the finest girls at this party, right? Makes sense, right?
Uh-huh.
And he said P. Will walked up to him, to these girls, put his arm around him, and said, "This is my boy Justin Smith." Okay.
Wow.
This is a great story. And that night, he was Justin Smith. If you know what I mean. My cousin lived the life of Justin Smith
He made some big plays.
I'm just saying he lived the life of Justin Smith that night.
Yeah. He broke the sack record.
I mean, how many of us can say that? There you go. Yeah. But you know,
yeah, absolutely.
He got to experience being Justin Smith for a night.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a cool story.
That is a great story.
Yeah. that's a good story.
It's almost as good as my Dirk Hayhurst story.
No, not at all.
That's a great book. You guys should read it. Out of My League. I want Dirk Hayhurst on our podcast.
Going back to that?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Dirk Hayhurst.
I'm not sorry.
Is his twin brother Dick Hayhurst?
No.
Dirk and Dick Hayhurst.
Owen, meet Dead Horse. Stop beating it, all right? Owen likes to beat something. If you don't agree with something that Owen's really passionate about, he stays on it.
Because you're wrong.
He's just like,
because you're
wrong.
I'm
going to get you. On the ride home, he's going to bring it up again. Because
you're wrong. And I will now that you said that, yes.
I didn't even say anything bad about him.
Because
all I said is I didn't read it.
Because if you don't want to read
it,
you're wrong.
Geez.
You're wrong.
I didn't say I didn't want to not read it. I just haven't read it.
Okay.
Put me in the bad club for not doing anything.
Fair enough.
Jeez.
You're out of the bad club.
Enough.
There's the bad club over here, and there's Andy over there. Andy's out of the bad club. Luke might be in the bad club, and
yeah. Owen, I can tell that's going to sting for a long time. Owen's not a real fan, and you didn't stick with the team.
Yeah, I took umbrage.
Hey, you know what, brother?
I can take umbrage to that.
You can, and you know what, brother? You dish some
you
stuff
are
yourself.
To
so
take umbrage.
Yeah.
We dish and dish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You can't take too much offense to it, though, because
I'm not taking offense.
You say some offensive things too. You just say them very. Non-offensively. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Like Owen's very
PC
about
my roommate in college, Bryce Ashland, the most negative person in the world, who used to tell me.
Sauces. That man demands a high rate of sauces in your fridge door. Like, that's his is packed. Just packed with all kind of hot sauces. Ranch dressings.
We were in Nashville one time with him, and we got like barbecue, like pulled pork, and they had like eight sauces laid out, and you had to get like a little bit of each one.
His eyes were just like, whoa, sauces.
He started shaking a little bit.
Bryce used to call me a condescending ass. And I think I'm sorry if I come
accurate.
I'm sorry if I come across a little bit condescending.
Yeah,
but it's
Owen, you ass.
but it's condescending in a pokey way, and I hope you can understand that it's like a playful.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not usually like that to people, but sometimes I do get in that mode. So
I think we're at the point with each other that we're comfortable enough to be able to say something like that.
Don't worry, we're good.
But I can understand that it's not.
Our condescension only revolves around sports,
right?
So who cares? I mean,
not me.
You didn't hurt my feelings.
Okay.
Right on.
Sounds good.
But LeBron James is a top 10 player of all time.
He's close. I put him at 11 or 12 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's between 10 and 15.
I think he's definitely getting there.
If
he wins next year, he's top 10.
No, I think after next year, if he has a normal LeBron year, I think he might be top 10.
He might be top 8 at that point. Then you never know.
Yeah, top 8 or 10.
I'm freaking sorry. Dirk at like 23. Come on.
The German Moses.
You put Dirk Hayhurst at 23.
Moses. Was that you or was that Diane that had Dirk?
No, he put Dirk out of the top 20.
Top 20.
Oh, you did too.
I did not. I did not.
You had Dirk in the top 20.
My worst player was Isaiah Thomas at 20.
But Dirk, you didn't have Dirk in
your
top 20.
I didn't have Dirk top 20. No.
Yeah.
He only won one. Isaiah won two.
Have
right?
you guys seen the Flula video with Dirk?
Yeah, yes.
Not the German Moses one, the one where they're singing Rolling Stones.
Hey, what did Flula say about us?
Flula Borg is our hero. He's my hero anyway.
Yeah, he's your hero.
Yeah, sorry.
I would take it beyond hero. I would go to it's borderline man crush.
Idolatry.
It's a little bit.
Idolatry. Yes.
I love that word. I'm going to start using that.
Okay. So what did he say about us?
He said he is. He said, "Buja, guys." I'm stoked to have.
I'm happy to.
So stoked.
I'm happy to.
To be to discovery.
To be discovery. To discovery you. That was what he said.
Buja guys.
And I bet you when you read what he wrote, you were thinking in your mind his voice.
I was. That shouldn't you? Always? Absolutely.
Very glad to discovery use.
So. So there's these things called auto tunes that he does that are pretty incredible. I recommend you type in Flula auto tunes in your.
That'd be a good investment for us. How much is an auto tune?
Oh, like an auto tune?
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny to have?
Yeah, that would be cool. He doesn't actually like auto tune his voice though.
Oh.
He makes songs in cars called auto tunes. AUTO.
Oh, got you.
So like,
but but wouldn't that be funny to have an actual auto tune?
My idea of comedy.
Yeah, like one of us per podcast could be talking into an auto tune machine. That'd be great. All right, we're gonna end this podcast. The end of it's been a little bit rambling, but the beginning of it was awesome. Thanks again to CJ Silas for coming on. Again,
thank you, CJ, and thank you for allowing us to guest host your show when you go on your
that's coming up in a couple
wild
weeks.
Vacation down to
and I just want to say Mexico. with the other two founders of Fansmanship that we are highly stoked on all of our young writers. Not young, they're just our age. Forgive me for saying young, but.
Diane Tenwachio, Matt Levine,
check them out. And Diane is
Murph,
spitting some fire. Diane is spitting fire,
and she's pumped on getting some of her friends or people that she knows interested in writing for the site too. Which
here's
is
what
also
you guys
exciting.
Can look for on the site from Diane is a bracket for the Little League World Series. And a day to day and a daily update
and
on
a,
the Little League World
and
Series
a, and a running blog on that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And Levine is super pumped on the Bengals and on the NFL. He's a Bengals fan, so it's pretty awesome.
Do you remember when Levine said that the Lakers were going to be a number 8 seed and win the championship? He made that prediction.
He wasn't bad with the 8
seed.
Hey,
Levine, if you're listening, I just want to bring that up right now.
Oh, I have one more
thing.
See,
now you have me, who's like the ultimate optimist
but
about
even
your team.
You knew. You
and then,
like,
well,
no.
See, Levine's just like a younger version of me.
That's what it is.
Right. See, that was me back, you know, 10 years ago.
Got you.
Right.
Yeah. You,
and so now you've I've been matured a little
you've been
bit, you know. I understand a little bit more. I still have that passion, but I've become a little bit more of a realist.
Luke, is Kobe going to score 28 or 33 points per game next year?
Kobe's going to score like 20 points per game.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cool. Luke, Matt Jones has been a guest on this podcast.
Jones.
He dropped some knowledge on me today.
He did?
Yeah.
It was just like this. Mind blown.
It kind of was, because I know he goes, Luke doesn't like Kobe, does he? And I was like, nah.
Well, how come so many conversations revolve around me?
I said, he goes, you should tell him that Kobe's daughter is named
Gianna. Really?
Yeah.
Gianna Bryant?
With two N's.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. But I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
That is cool.
And he wanted to poke you a little bit about that one.
Gianna Bryant.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should give a shout out to Matt Jones's published works. His,
his published works. What are you talking about? His published works.
You've read Matt Jones's rules for success and achievement.
We asked him a couple of them when he was on the podcast.
I was dropping some at the lake when I was posting my pictures. I remember everyone was stoked on that.
Tell me a few of them.
Always keep your line taut. You know, that's pretty much a metaphor for life. You know, make sure to always leave your mark. You know?
Score more points than the other team is the way to win.
Yeah, you don't score until you score. There's always that.
All right. Time for us to get off this ship. For Luke and Andy, I'm Owen, and we'll catch you next time. And for CJ, thanks again. We'll catch you next time on the Fansmanship Podcast.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. From